You're listening to the Apple Insider Podcast.
This is the Apple Insider Podcast, recording May 14th, episode 16. We've made it this far. I'm your host, Victor Marks. And joining us, we have Apple Insider Senior Editor Mikey Campbell.
Hello.
Contributing Editor Shane Cole.
Hello.
Today we'll be talking a little bit about the Ming-Chi iPhone 6S rumors, the iPad Pro rumors, Fiat and automotive intervention, YouTube vanishing from some Apple TVs, the NYT Now app becoming a freely available app, and Apple Watch water resistance. One of the big pieces of news that we had this week was the iPhone 6 rumor, the iPhone 6S rumor, to be clear. And they were talking about in the rumors, this was provided by Ming-Chi of KGI Securities, and they're talking about a rose gold casing color that matches the Apple Watch edition, a 12 megapixel camera, 2 gigabytes of RAM, and what really struck me as unusual about this rumor was that there were different casing materials indicated and a restructured internal design. So, you know, the hint was that this would somehow address bending issues that people talked about when the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus launched. But it's really unusual, isn't it, that we have a new case construction and the second year S models?
Is it supposed to be a new material or is it just a new color that's more pinkish?
I think it's both. Well, according to the note, he said that they're working on different alloys. Didn't he say that? Hold on, let me bring up that note. Well, I know the color, he just added that in, but I don't think he didn't specify whether it's going to be actual gold or just a rose gold color.
There was it might have been him. A couple of months ago, somebody said that they would move the case to the same aluminum alloy that they use for the Apple Watch Sport, right?
Yes. I don't know. I think that might have been him. I mean, that makes sense, I guess. No sense in making two different alloys or source it from the same thing.
It depends on how they're doing sourcing. If they're trying to have multiple sourcing partners, multiple manufacturers so that they have plenty of supply, or if they're going to run it all through one and be reliant.
It also depends on how they're making the metal, right? I mean, if it's Apple, I mean, how many smelters are they going to give out their secret sauce?
That's such an amazing word, smelter. That's great.
Smelter.
Whoever coined that, I thank them greatly for adding that to the English language.
They're also talking about adding another microphone closer towards the speaker to improve sound quality. One of the things that was interesting to me was they said 5.5 plus models may use scratch-resistant sapphire.
Well, he said a certain amount, a limited batch. He said something similar about the current 6. He guessed at the time, but this was before GT Apple blew up, right? The thing fell apart. He said that Apple was going to make it a kind of like a, you know, exclusive option for the five or the fat phablet users.
So is the takeaway from this supposedly that there's going to end up being a rose gold model with sapphire? Because I think that that's moving to Virtu territory, and I would just be ridiculous. I would slap anybody who bought that phone directly in the face.
I think Apple could do that, but I don't think that they'll necessarily tell consumers about it. I mean, they could be doing it, you know, behind the scenes as a kind of like a proof of concept test, you know, sending out a batch of 6S pluses or 6 plus S's, however you want
to
call it. Yeah, or something, you know, and just kind of see how it goes, not tell anybody that it's a special material. I mean, that could work. Who's really going to test their phone and be like, oh, I better test if I got a sapphire one. I'm going to go scratch it up with my keys right now.
Hey, every single person that did the bend test in week one.
Yeah, and all the guys who took their Apple Watch and went swimming with them. All of those.
Although that turned out okay.
It
turned out okay, you know, at the end. But going into that, there's no way you know it's going to turn out okay. So you have to have a certain amount of crazy in your repertoire to even consider that in the first place.
I am all about the crazy.
Unless you own a YouTube channel and you'll more than make up for the $400.
Yeah, but how many ad views have you got to have for that YouTube channel to support buying one to destroy?
Well, what's his name? That gamer starts with a P. I can't remember it off the top of my head. He streams. He makes like $200,000 a month streaming on Twitch and YouTube.
All right, hang up. We got to go and do that.
I don't disagree.
Now, so what of all of these different pieces of this rumor do we think are the most likely, most sensible to actually happen?
I think there will probably be a rose gold model. If any of this is going to come true, it would be the rose gold portion. I don't know that there actually will be one, but...
I hope you're wrong.
I mean, I mean a color. I don't mean an actual, like, gold iPhone. Just to clarify.
You know what's going to happen is they're going to, you know, make that color available in the MacBook and then, you know, everything. It's going to be terrible.
Why would it be terrible? Do you have something against rose gold?
I do. It's ugly.
It clashes with his yellow gold.
In limited scope, it's fine, like on a ring or a bracelet or something. But I don't know about carrying a huge slab of faux rose gold around. It's gonna look legit. I don't know.
I saw a kid on the train the other day with a, you know, the Samsung Galaxy Mega, the 7-inch phone.
Yeah.
He had it up to his face, and I couldn't see his head. He was like, I guess it was his mom's phone, and this kid was like 7 years old, and it's a Chinese kid, so he's small to begin with, right? And he had it up to the side of his face, and it was his little hand in the middle of the phone, and I couldn't see anything behind the phone. It was just like a phone on a neck. It was amazing.
The joke's on you. His head was actually the phone.
That would have been awesome.
Farts come.
Medical science is coming far quickly. So I think the 12 megapixel camera, we're going to see some kind of camera improvement.
I could see that. I mean, Sony's been really gunning hard with the camera modules since that is their only money making business at this point.
Not true.
They're only significant money making.
I was just going to be an asshole and say that actually they have an insurance business in Japan that's really big. That's where they make
all
the cash.
Yeah. It's true.
Selling old people life insurance.
Until the big one hits. Anyway. I mean, they're really like publicizing how great their camera modules are, and I wouldn't be surprised if Apple picked one up either for the 6S or the 6S Plus.
About the RAM upgrade? I mean, we know that the iPad Air 2 has 2 gigabytes of RAM. Does it make sense for that to come over to the phone line as well?
I don't see why not.
Have either of you, sorry, I apparently can't speak at this moment. Have either of you experienced with an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus that it just randomly hangs sometimes when doing seemingly mundane things like switching keyboards?
Yes.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time. And I'm wondering if that's an iOS problem or a RAM problem or some combination thereof.
I've seen it a couple times, and I think they might be distinct issues, but I see it like, you know, how you're saying with the UI and stuff, like visual aspects of it. And then I also see it with the when I'm calling somebody sometimes or hanging up or like, let's say I get a phone call and for some reason it drops or something, and I try to call them back immediately, nothing will happen. It'll say it's calling, or it'll keep cycling like that. So, I mean, that is probably a comm suite issue. But the one that you're talking about, the UI, like, I assume you use international keyboards, right, Shane?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, every time I switch to, like, a Japanese keyboard or something, it'll take a while to load up. So I'm not sure. It could be a prime issue.
Now, what I've been seeing is Springboard crashing on me and relaunching the whole Springboard thing from the Apple logo on up.
So that happens to me on my iPad Air too, all the damn time. Anytime, essentially every fifth time I use the four finger up gesture to get to the multitasking menu, it will just crash Springboard, and I'll have to wait till it reboots.
Now, one of the things that I did on an iPad that I had a few weeks ago, that it had a game that wasn't launching, and the person, who, the kid who owned it, wanted me to help him figure out what was going on with the game. There was an app that we installed that allowed us to view the console logs on the Mac over USB, and through that I was able to figure out which part of it was dying. Have either of you guys attempted to do any of these things to diagnose what's going on?
No.
I've used Xcode a couple of times, but I haven't used it for that hanging issue. I mean, it's not like gonna stop me from using the phone, so I don't really care. I don't really use it that, I mean, I don't see it that often, so. Yeah, but Shane, wait, do you have an Apple Watch?
I will tomorrow morning.
Oh.
Okay. Or and where I am right now, later today.
By the time our listeners hear this,
yeah, yes, he'll be.
I will be wearing the Apple Watch.
Which, by the way, quick digression, is a hilarious story. I ordered my watch on the day they all shipped, so April 24th, because my friends got one and I totally got peer pressured into buying it, even though I refused steadfastly in the beginning. And so I ordered it April 24th. Neil ordered his on launch day at midnight. I'm going to get mine before he gets his.
Yeah, he's been kind of salty about that.
He has been. I keep sending him updates. I would be too.
My big takeaway here is that Shane can be peer pressured.
Oh.
Which is kind of awesome. We're going to have to use that.
Yeah. When I went to preparing for shipment, I sent him a screenshot and he said, "I hate you." And then when it shipped, I sent him a screenshot of the tracking and he said, "No, I really hate you."
But wait, did you get the space gray one like he did?
No. I got the white and silver one.
Yeah. Well, anyway, for the Apple Watch OS, I'm also seeing like weird issues, and it kind of makes me. I kind of agree that Apple has been dropping the ball on the software side, for the past, I don't know, a couple years or so.
When it comes to the watch, let me ask: are you seeing problems with apps that are running from within the phone,
and I'm using just seeing, the watch as a display? I'm seeing problems with the software itself, like the UI. Like for example, just the past couple of days, some like weird things started where apps that have compatible watch software, or you know, that are compatible with watch, they just start installing themselves on my watch without my knowledge. But it's not a real install, because if I tap on it on the watch, nothing happens. And if I delete it, or if I try to delete it, nothing happens.
You've so actually discovered a secret NSA backdoor. Congratulations.
Oh, now we're...
And there's the sirens.
Yeah, no, but...
Mikey, it was really nice knowing you, man. I'm sorry.
wait, guys.
They're coming to get him.
But yeah, I don't know. It just seemed really unstable, and the way that they have it set up to add apps and stuff is just not working for me.
I've been having a lot of trouble with CarPlay lately. Where the best way I know that I'll have a good time with CarPlay in the car is if I reboot the phone before I get in the car, and I have to restart every other day in order for it to work.
Kind of sounds like another operating system. Is that
you mean Mac OS X Yosemite?
was that the one you were right thinking now. Of?
It shall remain nameless.
This is the Apple Insider podcast, right?
We're helping them future-proof their products by actually making them usable.
All I'm saying is, if you're gonna be a company that prides yourself on your user experience, and you completely fail to deliver on the promised user experience, it's not an amazing selling point.
But if they keep saying it, it must be true.
I have, in Yosemite now, at the latest version, I have the weirdest problems. My volume buttons lag.
I had Finder lag, and so I reinstalled last night, and it is better for now.
Oh, that happens to me all the time. Finder crashes 3 times a day.
No, I had like waiting 2 minutes of spinning progress wheel for Finder to update its contents.
Hmm.
Safari sucks for me too.
Hey, but I hear iOS 9 is going to be really great, you guys.
I'm sure it'll be spectacular.
And this is why we don't get preview review units from Apple.
Pretty much. Speaking of upcoming units, the other rumor that we had was the iPad Pro rumor, coming sometime in 2016, and the new piece of information was a silver nanowire screen.
Which is the second time in 12 months that that rumor has come out, and the first time around is for the Apple Watch, and now it's back again.
So why should people care about silver nanowire screens?
Unless Mikey has an answer, I don't think anybody should care.
Yeah, I'm not sure that going with such an exotic tech, as far as, you know, mass production is concerned, I don't know if that's even viable.
Well, it's not that super exotic anymore, though, is it? It's in shipping products.
It is, but are those products shipping in the tens of millions, though?
What are those products? You said it's shipping. Do you have an example? I'm just curious.
Yes, I do. I'm trying to remember. I think it's LG is shipping a phone in South Korea with nanowire.
Okay. Does it really add pressure sensitivity? Because that's the one thing that I could find when I was looking into this, is that silver nanowire allows pressure sensitivity, which would be beneficial for an iPad Pro if you were going to try and do Pro features on an iPad.
Well, it's a different way to measure deflection, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But you're never going to get the kind of pressure sensitivity people demand in a tablet like that is never going to come unless you use similar technology in your digitizer to what Wacom does, for example. You know, you're not just going to be able to depend on something like force touch to get drawing level efficiency. It's not going to happen.
Well, so can you do a combination of silver nanowire and some kind of stylus and get the same level?
Well, it's two different. I don't think they really complement each other. You just go with one or the other. Yeah, I mean, like Shane said, it would be really hard to make a precise input that, you know, you're going to see the strokes that are, you know, going to change like a Wacom tablet or their, I mean, they'd have to make with Apple Watch, it's okay because the screen is small, the surface area is small. And I mean, I haven't seen the electrodes on the outside that Johnny Ive is talking about, but I assume that they're using like a triangulation or whatever technique to kind of position where your finger is. But when you get to bigger and bigger formats like an iPad Pro, I think it's going to see diminishing returns on that.
Have we heard anything about what makes an iPad an iPad Pro besides the size of the thing? Is there something about iOS and the way apps are going to work that makes it a Pro product?
I don't know. I think people are excited about the stylus thing, right? I mean,
yeah.
And as far as being, yeah, as being like an enterprise product, I think it might be a cool idea. Because I've used a stylus. This. Yeah, go ahead.
We were talking about this last week with Dan, actually, and basically the summation of our conversation was this would be great for salespeople and enterprises, but no consumers, right?
Yeah, it's going to be like that. What was that Kindle called? The huge one. The newspaper size one.
Yeah,
my dad got one of those.
The one that every IT guy wanted one of those when it was announced for manuals. But when it was in its manufacturing run, I remember what happened, but basically you couldn't effectively load large PDFs onto it, which killed it. If they had done the PDF import correctly, I think they would have had an amazing market for everybody who carries around a ton of manuals with them.
But yeah, it serves a very specific purpose, and I think that the Pro will do that for enterprise.
But is that my argument with that is that a market that Apple's going to go into? And I think the answer is no. They sell lots of hardware to people, not, you know.
Well,
what about IBM, bro?
Well, yeah, IBM. There's no special IBM edition iPhone, right? They get the same iPhone that everybody else gets.
rose gold IBM edition with sapphire and included stylus and silver nanowire.
Oh, God.
Special blessings by Paul Rand's ghost.
I was just about to make a Paul Rand joke, so way to go there. Anyway, I mean, my argument is Apple wants to, they're a consumer products company. Whether they selling to the enterprise is a byproduct of being popular with consumers, right?
For Apple, it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's their reason for their existence is to sell to people, not to big businesses. And I don't see where, maybe I'm just an idiot, but I don't see where a 13-inch iPad really is going to make a massive dent in the consumer world.
No, I just want to say that, what happens when all the consumers have all your stuff? I mean, that's not close to happening yet, but...
Well, that's actually a good point, right? Because
when the market becomes so saturated with your own devices, like say the iPod, you have to branch out. Maybe they're looking forward. I don't know. World domination, guys.
I can't imagine why they would ever be looking forward. But you're right. I mean,
well, no, I'm not right because that's not close to happening. But
no, but I mean, in terms of what happens when people have all your stuff, right? How many people still have an iPad 2 out there and haven't upgraded from that thing yet?
And I think a lot of people, actually.
A lot. So maybe this device gives some of those people a reason to?
I don't know. Making the jump from iPad 2 to Gigantor tablet is maybe a tough sell.
I went from iPad 2 to iPad Air 2, right? But I think... How many people who have an iPad now think that this is great if only it was massively larger and more inconvenient to hold in my lap? You know what I'm saying?
Nobody. Yeah. Enterprise people.
Salesmen. I mean,
I'm excited about Microsoft bringing out the real Surface, you know, the table version.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I read a rumor that they're... I don't know if it was a rumor or it was an announcement. Yeah, I think they're actually going to start marketing that. I mean, they've had it, but I think they're going to market a new, perhaps, consumer-priced version. I don't know. I read something about that. It flew by my RSS.
They have the hub, the big hub display, the 55-inch 4K.
Yeah. But it's expensive, though, right?
Lay that. Oh yeah, it's really expensive. Maybe just lay that flat on like four legs and call it a Surface.
I would buy that if it was not over $10,000.
Really? You would spend $9,999 on a Microsoft coffee table?
Don't push me, man. I might do it.
Oh God.
Okay. Fiat
ideas.
Right.
Fix it again, Tony.
Yes. The owners of all of the rust from the 1980s, and also Chrysler, said that Tim Cook was out on a tour meeting automotive folks, saying that Apple needs to stage an automotive intervention.
He didn't say they need to. They said, that's the way he phrased it. He said Apple's automotive intervention, whatever that
means. Okay, so I ask you.
Or Apple's intervention in the car. It could be Apple. I mean, it could be CarPlay, for all we know. I mean, Fiat is super invested in that, so Fiat Chrysler Group.
CarPlay is cool, but is CarPlay the last word of Apple in the car? Given that you guys found and you Mikey and found that Apple has its own car bay and shop and tools. And we've seen the pictures of the Chrysler minivans riding around with sensors on the top of them. An intervention is clearly something more than just CarPlay, right?
Well, I mean, Shane, what do you think? I mean, Shane, do you think that it's more of a mapping initiative as far as the vans go?
Okay, well, the vans are very clearly a mapping thing. Yeah. The fact that they're all Caravans is probably just because that was the best leasing deal Apple could get, and they needed to all be the same so they can only make the hardware for them in one manner, right. So it'd all be interchangeable. I don't think that has any bearing on anything else. I mean, if you want to read the tea leaves about this whole Fiat nonsense, I mean, Fiat owns Ferrari, Eddie Hughes on the Ferrari board, so if anybody's going to know what the hell is going on, it's clearly...
Right.
somebody.
I mean, car electronics have been terrible also, for years, right? I mean, we've had, you've got CAN bus, and everybody's CAN bus is different, and you've got central computer and networked computers in the doors for all of the windows and telematics. All of these things are unmanageable and all different. And is Apple intervention mean fixing all of the in-car electronics, or is it Apple's building a car, or what?
I don't think that they're necessarily building a car. I mean, I would see them building components for a car, perhaps a computing system for the car, not in the manner that you and I may think of a computer, or the general consumer may think of a computer, but, you know, like the main automotive processing unit.
Right, the ECM and the window control module.
Like the Apple version.
Yeah.
The Apple version of Microsoft Sync. Or something more.
Maybe something deeper. Yeah, I think maybe something deeper.
Apple's in my HVAC, freezing me out.
Maybe. But I mean, as far as the things that we found in Sunnyvale, I think that could also be related to the mapping initiative. I mean, they have to get those fans and things serviced somewhere, right? So, I mean, for all we know, it could be all part of one thing.
I think the mapping thing is just a lot of people are reading a lot into it, but at the end of the day, maps are maybe the most important app of the mobile generation, right? I mean, right now, that's it. People use their iPhones for email and maps
and texts, so lots of texts.
I saw some people talking into them. I don't know what's up with that.
Well, you know, Shane, you saw a kid talking to a 7-inch tablet, so.
It's crazy.
I did.
What is going on?
Yeah. You know, actually, it's come full circle, because now we went from making phone calls to sending text messages to now sending voice messages
via
iMessage.
Do WhatsApp. You actually do that?
I don't unless I'm forced to.
Really?
But all of my friends do. Yeah.
That's peculiar.
Everyone I know that's ever done it has done it accidentally.
No. Over here, it's huge. It started with Weixin, which is WeChat in China, right? I think they were the first to make that really popular. Then once it hit WhatsApp, it was just viral. And
wow.
Everybody does it.
Yeah. Cool. So, you know, I'm going to change topics again. I know that time zones are a weird thing for us because, you know, Mikey's in Hawaii, I'm on the East Coast of the U.S., and Shane, you're over in Hong Kong?
Yes, the great city.
Kowloon, right? No? Oh, okay.
No, I live on the island.
Okay.
I don't go to the dark side.
But the dark side has cookies. Come to the dark side. We have cookies.
The dark side does have cookies. Actually, strangely, the dark Kowloon side does have a really great bakery that's very famous. And it's so famous and so popular that people actually scalp their cookies.
Wow.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring this up is that it is, as we record this, it's like 5 a.m. for you.
It is.
Your sleep cycle has got to be ruined, hasn't it?
Yes, Apple Insider has destroyed my sleep cycle.
Well, you know, when I was at CES, I was at Showstoppers, and I saw, of all things, you know, they had at Showstoppers, they had all these gadgets and light bulbs that work with iPhones and remote-controlled robots and all this crazy stuff. And one of the things that they had at Showstoppers was a mattress. They had a mattress from a company called Casper, and today's sponsor is Casper Mattresses. And I bring it up not just because they're being kind and sponsoring us, but also because, you know, we talk about sleep in terms of time zones. And Mikey, I know you've got a sleep sensor.
No, it's just mine. I just bought it because I'm a weirdo.
Which one did you buy?
Oh, it's just
The Sense from that company, Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got the ResMed S Plus and the old Gear 4 Renew and some other one named Sense Me, I think, that is around here. So sleep is clearly a big item for all of us on today's show. And I wanted to mention that, you know, this Casper mattress is an engineered American-made mattress that is available at a pretty reasonable price. And you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/insider and using the discount code insider. We spend like a third of our lives sleeping and waking up feeling terrible from a lousy mattress sucks. So what makes this Casper mattress different is that they're bringing together a couple of different technologies. They've got latex foam and memory foam. And because they've combined these two different density foams, it gives a better bounce and not a whole lot of sink into the mattress as you're sleeping on it, which is pretty cool. They've got a risk-free trial and return policy, and they'll deliver it straight to people. You can try it for 100 days, and if you're not happy, they pick it back up. So it's really, really generous in terms of just giving it a trial for 100 days. It's $500 for a twin-sized mattress and $950 for a king-sized mattress. And I don't know what you guys spend on mattresses, but when I priced the queen-size bed that we have, those are pretty reasonable prices. They can go ahead and get $50 towards any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/insider and using that code insider.
And supporting the podcast.
But the one industry you never expected Silicon Valley to take on.
Well, their lead founder, as I understand it, was an IDEO designer. And IDEO, of course, has their hands on just about every type of product there is, right?
I have to wonder, though, how much design actually can go into a mattress.
Well,
I realize we're probably going to get hate mail from like the vice president of Sealy saying you have no idea how complex mattress technology can be. But realistically, some padding and some springs.
Well, no, how hard can this be? But Casper is not springs. Casper is memory foam and latex. And when I was looking at their website, it looked like one of the layers has holes perforated in it so that it breathes. One of the things that kills me about foam mattresses that are not Casper that I've slept on in the past is that you can wake up really, really hot in the night because the heat just builds up between you and the mattress and there's nowhere for it to go. Casper's looks like it solves that problem. Listen, I keep going on about this. You guys are going to dare me to take the trial, aren't you?
I think you should do it.
All right.
Yes.
Well,
For Apple
science, specifically.
Well, it is a technology product. It showed up at a technology show. I will contact them. We will find out. Okay. So our next topic on the list is about YouTube and Apple TV. So I have the third generation Apple TV, and I actually think I have the third generation Revision A version of it, where it was the second release of Apple TV for third generation. But the second generation ones are still out there in number. I think, Shane, you've got a couple, don't you?
I have one, yes, because I'm too lazy to sell it.
Well, if you send it here, I will sell it for you. We've talked about this.
Perfect.
But the YouTube app disappeared off of it. Did you notice?
No, because I don't use it anymore.
Yeah. But
however, we did get many tips about this from our readers who were very irate that the YouTube app has disappeared.
It is one of the, I mean, for third-party apps, besides Netflix, I think it might have been one of the channels that I used most. But I'm not going to miss it. It was just there, I guess.
You used it because it was there, and it was there because you used it, and now it's gone.
Yes.
Well, it's gone because they changed the data API for YouTube, right?
Exactly.
And somebody in either Apple or Google or both made a decision that updating second-gen Apple TVs was not worthwhile. I'm guessing it's Apple side, truthfully, because this is what the third thing that they've done to phase out the old Apple TV. It didn't get Beats Music, didn't get the UI redesign. Wasn't there one other thing recently that didn't get? Aside from a YouTube update.
Did it pick up the HBO channels? Did it pick up HBO Now?
Yes. Wait, I think it did, right? Yeah, I think it did. I don't
know. Anyway, there have been at least three things that they've done to try and goad people into upgrading, which they did successfully with me, and if they announce a new one next month, I'm going to be upset.
Well, that price reduction is...
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Well, it's pretty obvious, but it is also helping them move units, right? There are people that I know personally that were willing to look at Amazon's box or some of the other ones and said, oh wait, Apple TV is $69. I'll go get that.
Yeah.
Now, but it's interesting because who controls, so it's the two sides of that relationship, right? There are updates that I really wish Hulu would make to their Apple TV app, but Apple controls some of when those things can roll out, but Hulu is also responsible for this too, right?
Well, I think Apple exercises a huge amount of control over the Apple TV, and we've seen that with Sling, right? Where Sling just refused to support the Apple TV. They gave us a preview account, they gave me a preview account, and the service is actually really, really good. I use it a lot. Don't tell them that though, because I'm not in the US right now, but it's not on Apple TV, and that's the only thing that actually keeps me from using it more. Mm-hmm. And the reason they gave for not being on the Apple TV is they did not want to bend to Apple's restrictions, because Apple wants every Apple TV app to work essentially the same way with, like, you know, the top menu and cover flow style,
that's
content
not
boxes.
A bad thing.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm just using that to illustrate that,
right,
that Apple obviously has a lot of control over what individual channels do, and that has to be a source of friction.
Yeah, and that's why Netflix uses the PlayStation 4 as their big beta platform.
Yeah,
because they can roll stuff without whatever they want and no one cares.
I care.
Do you use your PlayStation as the Netflix app?
Sometimes, if I'm too lazy to turn on my, or if I'm too lazy to switch inputs, or the remote's kind of far away. I can't I can't be bothered to get it.
You know what I discovered recently about Netflix on the Apple TV is that your viewing history is actually apparently stored locally. It gets synced back, right, to Netflix.
Yeah.
So if you go to Netflix.com, you'll see what you most recently viewed. But my Apple TV crashed the other day, and when it came back up, my Netflix viewing history was gone.
Interesting.
So everything I've watched since it came back up is there, but everything before that's gone.
It didn't refetch from the network to
re-grab
the history. Okay.
Maybe it's a token or something.
The third generation unit's a little long in tooth. I mean, it came out in 2012, and so I guess it makes sense for a new one, but what are the kinds of things you're looking for out of a new one? I've heard so far A8 processor, because the existing one's what, an A5?
Sure.
And 4K video. Is 4K video a big thing for you guys?
Yeah, because I need to watch the three movies that are out for 4K right now.
Yeah.
And I can't.
Right. Is the idea that Apple going to 4K solves the chicken and egg problem? When there are more people able to view 4K, more movies will be made in it?
No. There's no way that the movies, 1 million units of Apple TVs that Apple's going
movies,
to sell is going to
be. Movies have 4K been. Them. Yeah. I mean, they've been shooting movies in 4K for a while. And
yeah.
I mean, they use masters that are of even higher quality, of course.
Yes.
So it's not really a question of do they have the content. They obviously have the content. They just don't have the delivery system, and I don't think Apple TV has a big enough share.
Not to mention that 4K TVs are wildly expensive still.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Well, I'm just waiting for the 4K OLEDs to come down in 5 years.
You guys and your 4K. I want 8K.
I don't want any of it. My TV, my 1080p is very nice as it is.
No one wants it, but you're going to take it.
Yeah, I know.
And you'll like it.
Yeah, no joke. Every time I walk by, like, an AV store here, I look at the big Samsung's, like, 70-inch 4K that they have in the window, and I want it, like, desperately. My inner nerd self wants it. But do you really need 4K at 70 inches? I don't think so. My apartment's only 300 square feet.
Yeah. I mean, my TVs are old and 720p. I don't need 4K at this time.
Yeah. Well, no one needs it. Of course, they're going to say they can see a difference, but I mean, to get a TV that, or to get a panel that will actually, you can actually perceive 4K, it's out of the price range for 99% of the people.
How large and how close do you have to be to it?
There's a chart. You can go to like HD Guru or something. There's a point where it doesn't matter. Just like 1080p, right? I mean, if you sit 5 feet away from your 55-inch 1080p TV, then you'll see a difference. But yeah. I mean,
the thing that I want most out of a new Apple TV, or even just a software update to this Apple TV, is an app store so that I can have the content sources that I actually want on my TV.
Well, is that coming with things like HBO Now? If there are more apps that deliver their own channel, is that going to solve it for you?
I mean, yes, but right now you have to go... Well, I mean, presumably Apple will curate any Apple TV app store anyway. But I think that the barrier to entry is much higher right now than it could be in the future if there was a better distribution model.
Okay. Speaking about distribution models, the NYT, or the New York Times Now application, has gone free. They dropped subscription fees for unlimited article access. And that's kind of a big deal because if you've been on the internet at all in the past 20 years, everything behind the New York Times has been behind a paywall. So,
smooth segue, and I agree.
Yes. So, do you use this app? Have you downloaded the app?
I don't use any one publication's app for news consumption. I use aggregators, so I don't know. I mean, yeah. I use the only thing I use from the Times that's branded is their crossword app. Yeah. Because I'm a nerd.
Yeah. Do you have a crossword subscription?
I do.
Yeah, I had to pay. I have my NYT, I guess, news account is still active when I was in college, but I have to pay an extra $8 a month for the crossword account. It pisses me off, but I still do it because I too am a nerd.
I disliked it when they switched over and they got rid of the rankings because.
Hey, but on the subject of what we're actually talking about, though. I use the NYT Now app when it came out. Neil uses it a lot. He really likes it for reasons passing understanding. I don't see what the value is for... My thing is, the New York Times is all about the in-depth article, right? And NYT Now is trying to take the New York Times and make it to Twitter. So I think what they should have actually done is just called it what it really is, which is NYT, where terrified we're able to get in the news from Facebook and Twitter app. Right. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
It rolls off the tongue.
It's attempting to bring people back into the fold who otherwise would see the headline on their news feed or on their Twitter feed, and then that would be it. But I don't see if it actually has that much value.
The Times are behind the curve when it comes to new technologies.
They're behind the Times,
But they're the Times. They're the newspaper of record for all of America.
And they have a tech writer with an X in his middle name.
Does that stand for Savior? I don't know what else. Xylophone? I don't know many.
I thought he just put it in there for fun, to be honest.
Well, he has to differentiate himself from the other Brian Chen of notoriety.
Yeah, I thought
they're not the same person.
No.
Oh, okay. You're right. This does seem like Twitterifies New York Times, sharing features like sending screenshots of story summaries in app. The one thing that stuck out to me, because I am also a nerd, but I'm a different kind of nerd than you guys, is the app being compatible with password management app 1Password, which I use all the time.
Me too.
And I like the idea of apps taking on 1Password as the way of managing that stuff.
Interesting that they switched over to it when they stopped having a subscription where you might need to enter a password.
That is a funny timeline, isn't that?
Yeah. But I mean, no, I do like 1Password integration, and I thank them profusely for the share sheet integration, because that is just amazing.
Can we take a second on this subject of share sheets and sending screenshots to appreciate what a hilarious hack it is to have to take screenshots of stories to put them on Twitter to share them?
that is rather absurdist.
There are entire apps specifically dedicated to this now, like that lets you highlight specific multiple different parts.
One shot and so on, yeah.
Yeah. The world has come full circle yet again.
I honor the place where my images of text meet with my Twitter tweets that are made of text.
Yeah.
Namaste.
in 100 years, some historians can look back at this and go, what the hell were these people thinking?
Actually, that's interesting when it comes to history, because the archaeology of tech is really hard when things change format, and storing stuff in plain text is good and sensible for archaeology purposes. But when you have to stuff images and then store the images of text, you've just made it harder to catalog and search.
Well, not to mention, you know, you have the problem of bit rot. And
well, that too, but yeah. But format rot is a real pain too.
Yeah.
You know, I had to pull, a couple months ago, I had to pull out an ancient Mac and a floppy drive and boot into iOS 9 to read the floppy drive.
Can you, an old Mac. So.
I was actually able to do it. I tried doing it on an SE30 and that did not work. And then I tried doing and using iOS 6, regular OS 6 or System 6 as it were. God, the terms are killing me. And then I ended up getting an iMac G4, the very first sunflower shaped one, and putting a USB floppy drive on it and getting the files out.
Wait, why did you have, did you have a USB floppy drive?
I did eventually get a USB floppy drive.
Then why did you have to use an old Mac? Why couldn't you use?
I started, because I had to read the files in old Mac OS. OS 10 would not get the HQX crap open.
That sounds like a job for virtualization.
I suppose I could have installed a virtual machine and done Sheep Shaver and all the tricks that we used to have to do, but no, just grab the old Mac and turn it on.
It must be nice to just have old Macs lying around.
I can solve that for you and send you one. Would you like an iMac?
There's no place to keep it in here.
I know. That's why I'm offering. So one of the things we talked about earlier, we alluded to earlier, was the Apple Watch going for a swim. And the news story that we had, and this was popular with some of our readers on the website, was that, you know, the watch is officially rated to IPX7. So it's rated for a depth of 1 meter. And Apple recommends against swimming with the product. Don't even shower with it. You're lucky if you wash your hands with it. Please don't get any water near our precious jewel Apple Watch.
Actually,
go on.
They recommend cleaning it by running it under the sink.
Okay. I was exaggerating. You're okay. Right. Thank you. No, I appreciate being correct.
I've taken up the mantle, your mantle of...
You can go ahead and call it whatever you'd like. And,
I forgot. No, I forgot the word I was going to use. Pedantry. There we go.
I would have accepted pain in the ass, but yes. So there was a triathlete blogger called Raymaker who conducted tests, and apparently the watch survived a 1,200-meter or almost 4,000-foot swim, dives off of a 32-foot platform, and even a waterproofing test chamber set to conduct simulated dives down to 40 meters.
Yeah, the part about the 1,200-meter swim is not so impressive to me. I mean, the other stuff is impressive, but that's in line with the IPX rating, isn't it? Unless he was swimming underwater.
Yeah, well,
under 6 feet.
Technically speaking, right, the IPX7 rating is for static immersion, right?
Oh, right, for 30 minutes.
Yeah, to pass IP7, you don't necessarily need to have passed IP6, which is forceful water injection.
Has anyone tried injecting the watch with water?
You know what I mean?
Well, isn't that what the simulated dive down to 40 meters would do?
That's
the pressure?
That's pressure static immersion. But the idea is that it's easier for something to be water resistant when it's just sitting there versus when there's a force applied to it.
Right. So dynamic immersion is I'm slapping it into the water?
Yeah, or like I'm in the shower, there's a nozzle aimed at it, you know, or I'm in a strong current and et cetera, et cetera. Or I'm moving through the water during a 1,200-meter swim.
Right. I mean, go to the car wash and take the pressure washer right at the digital crown.
Yeah, I don't
remember. It's not, I don't agree with those articles that are saying, Apple secretly made it waterproof. They just rated it at a level that's conservative.
Yeah.
For very good reason. Like,
Yeah.
Like
as they always do.
Other, yeah, like I mean most other or pretty much all other companies, they're not going to rate it right at the edge of failure.
Yeah.
Because I mean that's not good business practice obviously. Yeah. But that simulated depth test was it's pretty impressive, I guess, because there are a decent number of holes on this watch.
Yeah. It's worth noting that IPX7 is the same resistance rating that you get with like handheld GPS units that are rated to be rugged, you know, to use outside in the rain, and if you accidentally drop in a puddle, you'll be okay. I mean, it's exactly the same. So I think that's what they were going for.
Basically a product you can live with and work with and not be afraid if you go ahead and get it wet, and apparently can swim with, although there are no swimming applications for it. It's just a matter of having the watch on your wrist as you're swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, China.
China.
We have two countries to talk about. We have China and Switzerland both, right? And in China, we hear that smartphone sales have been dropping, but that Apple remains a strong player. And recently, Tim Cook went over to China to discuss innovative environmental programs that Apple's put in place. You know, just like they bought forests here in the U.S. in North Carolina, they've got managed forests that they're buying up in China to supply sustainable packaging. This idea of Apple buying up forestry is pretty unique for a technology company, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty unique for any company. I don't think that
not
they're...
Not logging companies.
Oh, Mikey, you're so funny, the Hawaiian sense of humor.
On point.
I drank a Kona Big Wave earlier, in your honor.
Oh, thank you.
Good stuff. No problem. Anyway, it is unique among most. I don't think it's... A lot of people would look at this and say, a naive analysis would say, where they're trying to become more vertically integrated, right? But I think the actual reality of the situation is that Tim Cook just is a guy who believes in corporate social responsibility. And they've identified that this is the most efficient and effective way for them to lower their environmental footprint.
Yeah, paper's a big one.
And they were ranked by Greenpeace far and away as being one of the very best tech companies, and no one else was close.
Well, of course, I mean.
Well, that part was for renewable energy, but I mean, yeah,
right.
They, which is an interesting turnaround considering that just what like 3 years ago or something they were being blasted by Greenpeace every other week.
Yes. Well, Greenpeace was blasting them from 2005 on, as far as I can remember. Just about everything that they
with their picketing and such.
Well, the bromides in the iPhone 1 and all the terrible things that Apple is going to do by releasing all of these iPhones into the ecosystem.
Yeah. Speaking of China, and unrelated to wood, there was a report sometime this week that I don't think we actually covered that. A huge portion of the people who buy iPhones in China are actually not wealthy. All of the stories about Chinese iPhone sales are about the growing middle class and the wealthy using it as a status symbol. But Apple actually represented a little over 25% of smartphone sales to people who earn between $322 and $644 a month.
Hmm.
So 1 in 4 of those people who earn less in a month than an iPhone costs are buying iPhones, which I think
aspirational product.
Yeah, which speaks to the quality of Apple's brand in China, quite frankly.
The reputation that you gain by wearing one in a way that's easily displayed.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I was talking to a fellow who represents a brand for Latin American sales and says that the biggest thing that people like to do is to wear a clip on their belt so they can show the Apple logo on their phone on the outside where people can see it instead of putting it in a pocket. Is that something that people do in China where they're showing that they have the iPhone?
No, here everybody just carries it in their hands all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or on their heads.
Or, yes, strapped to their heads with rubber bands.
Yep.
I do see a ton of like cases that have the Apple logo on the outside of the case, though.
Okay.
So that's a thing.
Yeah.
So instead of covering up the Apple logo, you actually buy a case that has it on the back. So you, yeah, make sure you get the full status that you are entitled to.
You got to show it off.
I do like the fact that the Apple Watch has no visible Apple branding on it, besides, you know, the entire design being weird looking. But, I mean, that in itself is branding, but I'm just saying that it doesn't have an Apple logo on it, you know, like their all of their other products. Maybe
right.
they
it,
can,
it does on the case back, but that's tiny.
Yeah, well, and it's also, you know, covered by your wrist,
yeah,
and arm hair.
Great wrist shot there. All of our commenters on the website that saw the shot of the Apple Watch on your wrist,
yeah,
were so there were like two or three that said Harry, and then everyone else was on your side, Mikey. Everyone said,
"Well,
don't pick on him. You'll give him a phobia. You'll give him a mental."
They're impressed with it. The glorious mane on my arm.
They were, but they care about your mental well-being. They don't want to give you any kind of troubles or worry or you know, a syndrome.
To the people who are listening and have no idea what we're talking about, Mikey posted a story about how to customize your watch face, and in the story was a photo of his watch on his wrist. And his arm is quite hairy.
It's her suit.
You are you are endowed with follicles, let's say.
Yes, and the internet was awash in comments about the amount of hair that is on Mikey's arm.
Exactly. It also stands out because I haven't seen the sun for quite some time, and my black Asian hair is quite stands in a stark contrast to my snowy white skin.
But you live in Hawaii.
Yeah, I never used to be this white, but then I got a job, and
it happens to the best of us.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Well, there's the old story about the Washington about the congressman from Hawaii who spent half his time tanning on the Capitol balcony because if he went home without a tan, they'd know he'd gone to Washington.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That was supposed to be funnier than it came out, but yeah, what can you do?
No, it is funny. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
It's very important to keep up.
Thank you for soothing my ego.
Well, that's all we have for this week. This is the Apple Insider Podcast. Join us next week when we'll talk about more incredible things happening in the news. We had with us Mikey Campbell.
Yola.
And Shane Cole.
You are welcome for my presence.
Thank you. And I'm your host, Victor Marks, and that wraps it up for this week. Feel free to please listen again and subscribe and leave good reviews on iTunes.